Music. Okay. Welcome back to another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. We did go on an impromptu little break caused by outside events. Yeah. Among other things. Let's see. Oh, if you are listening to this on anywhere that podcasts are found, you're welcome, because I just gave y'all three episodes to listen to back to back, because I haven't uploaded them yet. But I will upload them over the weekend, so you will have 3+ hours worth of goodness. And for Twitch folks, I'm gonna try my darndest to be back consistent. That's the name of the game this year for me. But anyways, how are you, Jade? Any church announcements that you got upcoming?
So I'm good. No longer tired and broken down from working and doing classes Monday to Thursday. So yay. Got my phlebotomy certification, so that's out the way. I'll be church announcements. I'll be at BlurredCon, March the 6th. Yeah, 6th. So that's the next con I'll be at. So that's in 2 weeks, a week and a half, something like that. A week and a half. Next week, and then it starts on the 6th. Yeah. So I'll be at BlurredCon. I'll be at BlurredCon next month. So if anybody's listening that is going, then say hey. Stop by the booth and say hello. What else? The next cons after that, forgot the name of them, but I'll be in Boston. I'll be at DreamCon in Houston. I forgot what other cons we're doing. Trying to go see the Backstreet Boys in Vegas.
I feel like I missed the announcement.
Trying to be outside.
I feel like I missed the announcement. Do they have a residency?
Oh, they just announced it like a couple days ago.
Okay.
They don't have a residency, but they're going to be at the Sphere.
Oh.
Performing. So, hey, if you want to go to Vegas, let me know. But yeah, so going to do that in August. Yeah, that's August. Trying to think, what else? I'm just booked and busy in New York parties. So yeah. How are you?
I'm tired, but I'm good. Good. Let's see. Church announcements from me is that I am back streaming pretty regularly. So when we're not podcasting, you can catch me on both Twitch and YouTube. I just haven't done the feeder to another YouTube channel for a podcast, because I'm like, YouTube chat isn't trained all that well compared to Twitch. I mean, both are wild, but Twitch's moderations for his chat tends to be a bit better. So yeah. So until they do that, I was like, I'll pause on the feeder for YouTube channel for a podcast. But when we're not podcasting, you can catch me on Twitch and YouTube, where I'll be gaming. And I too am booked and busy, somewhat on the creative side, that will be announced later. And somewhat on the personal side, which will also be announced later, or, you know, just if I flex something new, just don't be surprised. So yeah. I think that's it for me though, as far as church announcements. But because we've been out for a minute and We actually got quite an interesting, somewhat packed docket. Let's get right into it. And first off, I'm going to start by saying this docket is, while current on current events, it is not really American focused right now. Because honestly, this is an accurate depiction of what we're going through in America. So until this floating dumpster is, or floating dumpster fire, excuse me, until the floating dumpster fire, until I feel like that is no longer an accurate representation, we'll probably just be a little lighter on American topics, because good Lord, it's not just drinking from a fire hose, it's drinking from 50 fire hoses at the same time. Yeah. There are multiple proceedings going on in multiple areas for multiple reasons. Yeah, floating dumpster fire. Anyway. So, outside of that, let's get into main headlines. So, starting off with the news beat. Whoop. This is what happens. Also, my OBS wanted to throw up the other week. So I'm like still putting everything back together. All right. Now, starting on the news beat, we're taking a trip across the pond, first to Germany, where they are actually going to have their early general election next week. And Friedrich Merz, who is of the Christian Democratic Union, which is considered center right, which in American terms is probably center and or center left, but center right over there, is currently the favorite to win. But that said, the AfD, super far right, Nazi friendly party is not far behind, but behind enough. Like, Merz has a comfortable enough lead to where he'll probably win, but it is concerning that the super far right AfD party is like second place. So there's that. Just keep that in mind. Merz is a former business executive, and he spent years in the political wilderness, kind of just like out there. Before capturing the Christian Democratic Union leadership in 2021, at his third attempt, on the campaign trail, he has, shown strong views on the economy and trade and wants to revive the Franco-German relationship at the heart of the EU, for the bloc to recommit to free trade and to safeguard transatlantic relations. So very, if you know your history, very like pro how things were in the 90s. I think that was like kind of the peak of free trade when it was a pretty dual partnership when Clinton was in office. And probably before that too, but we're going by super modern history, 90s. So Merz sees an opportunity because he sees Germany's status as Europe's largest economy to not be a dwarf versus an unpredictable Trump. His quote, not mine. But something to note that that's interesting is Merz is also more hardline on China than the current chancellor, who is about to be booted, Olaf Scholz. However, he's less critical of Russia, but he's still more hawkish on Russia than Scholz was. Just for a little geopolitical interest there. So outside of whatever the hell we're about to do, it would be really interesting, especially if Merz won the elections. I know the early general starts next week. I don't know, because their elections last for days. Not like over a week per se, but it definitely, they tend to last more than a day, and they tend to go through multiple rounds. So if Merz does come out as the final victor to be the new chancellor, it will be interesting to see how his vision of how he wants Germany and the EU will take place, especially when we're kind of looking anti-trade right now, pro-tariff and anti-trade. So it's kind of hard to say whether, you know, it's like Mercer's vision sounds nice in theory. If you're kind of like on the side of like the general middle stage, everything's kind of cool capitalism, and not the current late stage. So would be really interesting to see how this plays out if he does win, especially with us, we're having an identity crisis. So yeah, I'm just interested overall because like it seems like U.S. relations with the EU pre-Brexit and even post-Brexit has been pretty like par for the course. Even and folks might disagree or get mad at me, but even in Trump's first term, it was some shakes, but it was still pretty normal-ish. But now it's just like, I don't know. They might decide to stay on their own 2 feet and break a little farther away. So who knows? Especially because Merz wants to work, overall wants to keep that relationship with the U.S. France is very much about to say, fuck this shit. So will be quite interesting to see how this plays out overall. So, but your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm very interested in seeing how this will go down. Like you said, the relationship that America has currently with different countries is a little bit... So, a lot of our, like I said, the trade and things like that are very dependent upon who's in office. And we'll see how this works out with if not saying he's winning, but if see what they would do with their, because like I said, Germany does have one of Europe's largest economies, so it's kind of, but also Germany itself is just, I feel like American can take a good hard lesson from Germany, and that's a side tangent. A good hard look at what Germany does for their history and how they learn from their history, and yeah, America should follow suit, but I digress.
I feel like we're kind of right smack in the middle of like, We're in between, like, we could do, like, Germany and take lessons, or we could do, like, more imperialist, well, formerly imperialist countries like Japan and China. Well, China is trying to be imperialist now, but take the more imperialist side and just come up with really good PR to make us look extra fluffy. But, and yet we are failing at both.
Right. I'm just more shocked that Merz is harder on China than Russia, you would think, but
yeah. I have floating theories on that would take an entire like couple of college lessons, so we don't have time to fully go into that, but yeah, it probably goes all the way back to World War One and how that played out, and yeah, this whole thing. But yeah, but you're right. It is more interesting, and I don't know if that is a play to still be friendly with us, because as of now, it's looking like we're basically taking the same stance to a degree. But yeah, I don't know. So, but yeah. Anything else on Germany?
That's it on Germany.
All right, we will be watching.
I'm fighting the urge to sing Sound of Music.
We will be passively watching next week because I would still like to visit there one day. And if MERS wins, there's still a chance. And if AFD wins, so that's another country I'll mark off. So, but funny we mentioned China, actually, because speaking of, there's an interesting beef that's not, it's kind of a beef, but not a beef, but it was on BBC's news site. So I was like, why not? Let's talk about it. All right. In the movie industry, there seems to be this competition between Nezatu, do not know my Mandarin that well, but Nezatu versus Captain America 4, aka Brave New World. If you don't know, like I didn't, Nezatu is a Chinese film about a mythical boy who battles demons and has been newly crowned the world's highest grossing animated film. And for some reason, Captain America Brave New World is now seen as Nezatu's rival, at least in China. One columnist in China even went so far as to write that it's not Captain America that's dying, but America that's dying. Their words, not mine. When they were analyzing the movie's lack of appeal in China, they continued, in reality, the U.S. does not have superheroes, and the U.S. is not a peace-loving, peace-defending beacon for humanity. Damn, that when that propaganda hits a little too close to home. Within this movie beef, there was one cinema in Sichuan province that reportedly decided to hold off screenings of Brave New World in its theaters to support Nezatu. Meanwhile, others who were critical that Nezatu did not get enough screenings in North America cinemas. Now, granted, where I currently live is probably not the most friendly to Chinese cinema, but with that caveat, I heard nothing about this movie at all, so gives you some insight. Until, like I said, I read it today on BBC's website. So, but they have also accused American cinemas of showing other movies instead. But yeah, I just thought that was an interesting thing of like, huh? Even in cinema, which I mean, like, oof, it's kind of obvious that even in art, geopolitics can take place, but specifically it feels very important around like now, just because like it could be a whole tangent / other podcast, but Brave New World did have its issues, specifically because of how people took the rewrites and reshoots. I, from a business perspective, understood why Marvel decided to go that way. Particularly in the sense of like, I don't know, it feels weird. I don't think they were so much complying in advance or anything like that, but it does feel weird that your art is a little too close to reality frame by frame. And I think that's why they kept trying to find a way to reshoot. I don't know, try to show a more neutral side. So, like, but, I mean, there are other people, the people on the other side would say, like, no, you should show the ugly truth, which is, like, but people, I don't know if people are really willing to really sit and face that in a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. If we're aiming for widespread audience, I don't know. Like I said, business mindset. Totally get, like, I'm very pro show ugly truth, but I also know their business and they want to make their money, so, or get their money back per se on what they spent for that. So, a slight tangent, but outside of that, let's see. Oh, and well, I won't say that because that feels very spoilery. But yeah, there are other things about it that were valid. I don't think I personally didn't think it was bad. I think it was decent. I'm also, when it comes to Marvel,
I keep hearing
that it was bad or decent.
That it was decent.
Yeah, it was decent. But yeah, when it comes to Marvel, I'm not necessarily, how do I say it? Okay, Captain America is not my favorite hero, but I don't mean that in a, I don't like him. I just mean that as like, eh, he cool. I just rather prefer watching, I don't know. It just didn't grab my attention as much as like Thor, or like even Thor, even though Thor had his own bad movies, a Thor or a Deadpool or like but yeah, why that is, I don't know. I'm still processing through that, but yeah, for me it was decent. So, but your thoughts on this interesting movie beef taking place in China?
Yeah, like, it's, maybe they think it's a whole beef just because it is a Chinese movie, because one, their movie industry is harder to break into, I'm not saying like acting wise, but the movies that get sanctioned that they can actually play there. That's why a majority of the movies have scenes that are like based in China and things like that. Because it's easier to get on their good side and be like, let us shoot our movie there, because they only accept, I forgot how many movies a year, like foreign films that can play there. So, and it's a Marvel movie. It's a big, huge movie. So to say it's going toe to toe with an animated movie, which I'm just like, those are two different genres. But like, I don't get it. What's the beef about? I don't get it. But it's interesting. But I can't wait to go see it, because I haven't seen the new Captain America yet. Like I said, I've heard not mixed feelings where it's bad, just mixed feelings where they're just like, it's decent. It's okay movie.
Yeah.
It's not anybody's favorite, but it's not the worst that right. they've said. So it's like, okay.
Yeah.
I heard it's black though.
It is black.
Heard it was just,
you'll appreciate the blackness.
Yeah, I was like, I heard, that's one thing I did. This is consistent.
Yeah.
That it was just black. And I was like, yeah. You want to try to see it next Friday maybe? Like from another room.
Yeah, but no, I think you'll enjoy it. This is how I gauge a movie is like, did I fall asleep at some point in the film or feel sleepy? And I did not, so I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay.
But yeah, anything else before we move on to Creator Hub?
That's it on that beef.
Cool, cool, cool. All right. Creator Hub news. Most of it is towards the end in creator industry. But do got some highlights from pretty much all the main ones. All right, so for Twitch, in a Fast Company interview, the CEO, Dan Clancy, said YouTube, Facebook, and Kick copy Twitch with their live streaming offerings. I could see an argument for that. I think a lot of people were saying that, too. Like, yeah, I could see an argument for that. This actually got announced yesterday. Twitch announced that they would be introducing a storage limit on highlights and uploads starting April 19th of this year. Any amount of highlight content over the 100-hour limit will be subject to deletion on April 20th of this year, 2025. This new limit does not impact VODs, which already have a time-based deletion, nor clips, which are currently available indefinitely. So basically, if you highlight, if you put highlights of your stream up, or you upload something, like say like a channel trailer, you upload that to your creator page on Twitch, that's what has the limit. I personally don't have anything to worry about because I don't really highlight that much, and my only upload is a channel trailer, I think. Maybe something else, but definitely just a channel trailer is the main thing that I would upload and want to keep up. So I was like, I am way under the 100-hour limit, but I can't speak for people who have been streaming for 10-plus years. They probably have a lot. And as soon as I saw it didn't impact VODs, then I was just like, oh, okay. Or clips, for that matter. But yeah. Thoughts on Twitch stuff?
On the Twitchy stuff, I could definitely see how, like you said, how Dan Clancy is saying that they everybody copied Twitch, because we know that, first of all, we know Facebook Meta copies everything. But that's just, it's not a fact, but just saying. Kick was literally a solution because they couldn't get away with things on Twitch.
Yeah,
so they made Kick.
They couldn't get away with their slurs on Twitch, so they moved over to Kick.
I was like, so it's literally Twitch's little sister or little brother that like is in a fraternity and not doing so great in college. like that's the Kick. YouTube, I can see it. Just because they didn't have the streaming platform, it's more video based.
Yeah.
But then now that they're moving to streaming platform too, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody was copying off of me.
Yeah, I was going to say they're newer features for sure.
Yeah. For the storage limits, like you said, for people who have been streaming for a long time and have like hundreds or thousands of hours upon stuff, that kind of sucks for them that it's you have a limit and just be deleted once you whatever is over that limit. So it's like, I wonder why they're doing that now. That's the real question. Maybe it's a server thing.
Maybe.
Yeah. Like it always, to me, a lot of things that Twitch does just in my head boils down to money. And it's like, that's one less server to have to store this thing, to store these data. So yeah. But your VODs are still safe. So that's always good. Yeah. That's all I have on Twitch.
All right. I'll do YouTube and TikTok together I'll do the other three together because it's not a lot. YouTube is buying ads on TikTok to poach creators. For TikTok news, the White House is in talks to have Oracle and a group of U.S. investors take control of TikTok. That'd be interesting. TikTok is also appearing to be expanding the test of a dislike button. I don't be on there a lot, so I haven't seen it. I go for certain stuff and then I'm just like, okay, I'm done. And then on Twitter/X is adding a dedicated scrollable video feed. I ain't gonna lie, I haven't really been on there that much. I just promote my stuff and leave. And because a certain someone wanted to do a certain hand gesture last month, at least 100 subreddits, including Reddit or our NFL, hockey, NBA, military, which I was like, wow, good for y'all, and PC gaming have banned posting links from Twitter. But your thoughts on those?
That's hilarious. to be like, that's petty as hell to be like, yeah, let me put ads out there so we can poach creators. That's petty. That's pretty much. Twitter. Twitter X. It's kind of weird that the subreddits are banned from posting links.
Oh no, they're like they're self moderating to say that they're no longer accepting Twitter's links because of
links from Twitter. See, reading is fundamental. I can see that just because Twitter itself is a hellfire at this point. Nobody likes the person who's running it.
Yeah.
Because apparently he has a second job.
Yeah. Apparently.
Apparently. That's all I'm going to say on that. But, it's lovely to see when people band together to fight a common enemy.
Yeah.
It's lovely. Nice. There are some wholesome things in this world.
There are. All right.
But, yeah.
Oh, and anything on TikTok?
The dislike button can go south so quick, because you can see that how it is on YouTube where people dislike stuff just because. So that's going to suck.
To the point where they had to hide the dislike count.
Yes. Like, you... That's never really, like, the greatest of ideas to have, a dislike button. Especially because in this day and age that we're in, where people feed off of the positivity and the negativity for online. And you have the younger generation. Ooh, I sound old when I say that. But you have the younger generation who, it's not that they're as thick skinned, they're not as thick skinned, but it's just that they were raised in a digital age. So they like that instant gratification, and they vie for the attention from the likes and retweets and the follows. So having a dislike button can really be damaging to somebody's mental health. So I was like, I'm not really for a dislike button. And also, look, anything that happened in that big old White House right now for the next 4 years. Yeah. Because I don't know much about Oracle.
It's a big software company. Software-like company. Like, they've been around for ages at this point. So, it's like, they are reputable in the sense that they've been around. But it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
I don't trust anything that come out that big White House from that big orange man. I don't. So if he says you should do this or we should have these people take over, I don't want it.
That's fair. At this point, I can't really argue.
Especially coming from the person who right? And that's the main person who started the whole ban on TikTok, but
you know, short-term memory and all that
conversation. Yeah, we're all in the Matrix.
Okay. All right, and last but not least on the Creator Hub, creator industry news. Instagram Reels can now be up to 3 minutes long. Wow, y'all are late. All right. Instagram is launching a CapCut competitor called Edits. Blue Sky is also launching a custom scrollable video feed on mobile eventually. And Trump's White House is allowing influencers, podcasters, and other creators to apply for press briefing room access. Because so much room opened up since they banned the AP. But neither here nor there. Okay. And let's see. Medical's 2025 social media study suggests that YouTube is the easiest platform to grow on, regardless of the creator size. So I can count a vouch for that one. However, Instagram takes a slight lead if you're just starting. I can see that. I think it's easier on lifestyle, comedy, skits stuff as opposed to like gaming stuff. So, but I can see that Instagram taking a slight lead. Like if you compare broadly overall, not just on game, on the gaming side. Anything on those before we get to the interesting statistics and how weirdly enough, I have not become one when it comes to Twitch streaming, but go ahead. But anything on that before we talk about the last point?
So the Reels being up to 3 minutes long, that's kind of good because everybody's trying to fill the space that if something happens to TikTok again, to allow its creators to have a broad spectrum of options. Mm-hmm. So they can, but they also can bring revenue over to their platforms. So I can see how Reels being 3 minutes long, that's much longer and better for, they can compete with like, say like Facebook videos, how people run their videos on there or on, not TikTok. What's the other one? Snapchat. How even though they're short videos, but you can post multiples to make the longer clips of them. So I think that's a good thing. With them creating their own editor, like to compete with CapCut, again, smart, because oh my God, when I realized that I deleted CapCut off my phone and I couldn't get it back until they finally re-added them back to the App Store. Oh my gosh, I was just tripping out. I was just like, oh, I hope it's on my laptop so I can edit videos on there because I have to edit content. So sometimes I'm lazy and I do it from my phone and it's good to have CapCut there. But I also would feel so weird if it, as long as it's its own thing and not linked to your Instagram.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be okay. Because CapCut though, it's easy to upload and to upload your videos. So if they make something similar that's easy to use, yes. Again, I'm still not big on Meta, but if it's a useful tool, if something were to happen to TikTok again, so all the subsidiary companies would go away as well. So that would be like bye-bye CapCut, and a lot of people, especially in a lot of people within the industry, use it. So they need like an alternative that's still something that's easy to use, that's user-friendly, that's cheap if you don't get the premium, and just easily accessible. So if that could be it, then cool. Blue Sky, look at y'all growing up. It's nice to see it like, it started from its little roots to, like, it's just sprouting and adding new features more and more and trying to compete to make sure that people have an alternative to Twitter, because your mama needs Twitter. So I was like, that's pretty good. Why does an influencer, like, you see I'm going through the points, and as soon as I got to that one, why does an influencer need a press pass? I get certain ones, but if you get actual ones who do, like, political commentary, yes, that happen to have podcasts, like how Hassan, he started out on the Young Turks. He was a journalist. It's like that was his medium. He switched over once he left that. He switched over to Twitch, but originally journalist. Like Don Lemon, he streams now, not on Twitch, but on, I forgot what platform, but he streams is like, that's a journalist.
I know Twitter for sure. He might like do, cause I know he's basically freelancing, soloing. He might do something with like StreamYard and be on platforms, but yeah.
Yeah. But I think it might be like YouTube or something.
Maybe.
He might have like a YouTube channel. But he streams somewhere. I just know he has it. My mom watches it. So that's why I know. It's like he streams somewhere. My mom watches it. But people like that. Those are content creators who I feel like, okay, yes, you should have a press pass because you actually have a journalistic background. You're going to ask actual questions.
And you know, neither Hassan...
I have no business.
I was going to say, now you know neither Hassan nor Don Lemon are going to be the first ones.
Correct. Like, because of M's background, I would trust her to go to the White House to ask questions and to be a part of the press. Me, not so much. I don't have that much faith in myself. So it's just like, yeah. I just don't get that. Could you imagine Kai Cenat at the press say, like, they're talking about war and here's Kai Cenat really asking questions. No.
I'd watch it a bit more.
Like, it'd be entertaining. And then we haven't gotten to last. Well, no, we got into the last second to last point.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy that they suggest that YouTube is easier to grow. Well, actually, it is, because I've seen your growth. So, as long as you're consistent and you know your fan base and you speak to that, then it is easier to grow versus Twitch, where you're... it's just harder on Twitch. It's harder on Twitch. It's to grow, like, during post-pandemic.
Yeah.
Because unless you're, like, not working, can full-time grind it out, that's the only way to really be, other than being super consistent. But YouTube, the way their algorithms work, the way your videos touch on certain fan bases, it's easier to have the growth there. So I can see it. So actually, I'm not surprised at that. But I'm sure I can also see Instagram. I can say a test for myself. I was like, like, I don't have oodles and oodles of followers, but I went from having 500 to, like, 2,000-something within a month off of just one picture.
Okay, I see you.
Yeah.
Come through, Flex.
Yeah, it was, like, the growth was weird. I was just like, oh. I was like, we at 2,000. And I'm just chilling. And if I was probably more consistent, I'd probably see that number jump again. I should post more. But it's been like a consistent, steady rise. Like, I'm almost at 2,100. But yeah, so it's like I can see the growth on Instagram because you can have a picture, a video, or anything that if it goes like viral or semi-viral and just gets a lot of traction, people go to like it, they go to follow your stuff, they go add you, they start going through your different photos and liking older posts and things like that. So I can see the growth in that. But I wouldn't say that it's easier than YouTube because you're not as seen, I think, as to me, you wouldn't be as seen as you would on YouTube. Because you can go on YouTube, type in Ewoks, and you can find a whole channel dedicated to people talking about Ewoks.
I agree with all that. And I do feel like if I had pivoted or created another Instagram or like broadened it out a bit more, then I probably would get more followers. But I'm also just like, well, I was in the phase of like, yeah, let's just stick to gaming. Now I'm in the phase of like, oh, we definitely sticking to gaming. Because y'all can't get nothing else outside the little snippets of this podcast. right now. So and a cute picture every now and then. But yeah. I thought that was really interesting. And yeah, YouTube has been pretty easy to grow on. I mentioned a second YouTube channel, and I am gonna actually do something with it probably next month. I wanna compare and see, because my niche on that channel will be a lot broader. If it'll be even easier to grow on now that I know what I'm doing. Also, I will say the algorithm's being kind of apparently, right now, but still overall, YouTube is pretty easy to grow on. If you know what you're doing and you take the time and learn and, you know, have some level of consistency, you ain't got to post every day because I damn sure don't. But definitely like weekly, bi-weekly, something like that. So yeah. All right, last point. So from 2022 until the present, post-pandemic, which is like, I think that's pretty accurate way to take the data. But nearly 56% of people quit Twitch streaming after 1 month. After 2 years, it rose up to a total of 88%. So after one month in 2022, 56% of people quit streaming. From 2022 to 2024, let's say end of 2024, about 88% quit after 2 years. And I'm just over here like, I'm kind of surprised I haven't become a statistic yet. I mean, yay. I mean, honestly, like, I foresee if something blows up, I foresee it being one of the two YouTube channels or both of them. Not necessarily Twitch, but it would be nice, but at this point, I'm just like, I'm just chilling and vibing here. And, you know, I've met some pretty cool people through the years. So it's like, yeah, that's kind of why I keep doing it, because now I like have my own little community. So it's like, meh. But as like I said earlier, Twitch is just hard to grow on. So YouTube is like a lot of research and work and already knowing your audience. Twitch is networking to find your audience, and or being standing out in some way that will attract an audience. I feel like that's just me, though. I could be wrong. I don't know. Who am I to say? But that's just my observation. There you go. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I can see the people that the 88% quitting after 2 years. Yeah, it's a hard grind. It really is. If you're not, and I think people get into streaming wanting the instant, like they see either they want instant fame or they want that community. And if they don't get it within that time period, it's kind of like you fizzle out. So either you're streaming just to like have fun with your friends, or you're streaming to get like famous. Not famous, but you know, yeah, like pseudo, like within the Twitch world, within the streaming world, there are people who are known. So like you go to cons and stuff, you meet them, and you're like, oh shit, it's such and such. And like you can, not everybody's at the Kai Cenat level, but they're like smaller time streamers that aren't smaller time, but they have a large audience. It's just that unless you're part of that audience, you really wouldn't know them. So it's just like, oh, it's your Twitch famous. It's like, that's pretty much what it is. Like, there are plenty of Black streamers that I know of and, like, watch. And then when you see them at cons, you're like, oh, snap, that's such and such. But then, like, they're not, it's not like they're on the level of being like, oh, I'm famous. It's just you're Twitch famous. Some people aspire to be that. And when they don't obtain that, it's kind of like, oh, we'll pack up and leave. So I'm not shocked at the 88% quitting. I was like, I would think that the number would actually be slightly higher. But I was like, 88 sounds pretty right.
Yep. But yeah. But that
56% though is funny. Like after a month,
I would feel a way
if you can't get past the affiliate.
Yeah, I was like, I would definitely feel a way if I got all this gear and I quit after a month. What was the point? That's half the reason I don't quit now.
Man, screaming because she. when I go back to Georgia, all my streaming stuff is there, and I'm gonna be back to streaming regularly again if I have time. Putting all that to use, the cameras and the lights and the green screens and software. I bought a whole computer just to stream. Oh my god. This is what living with a partner is like, y'all.
But all right, anything else before we move on?
Nothing else on that.
Never forget.
Oh my god.
We're unemployed and we're living just fine in New York. Never forget.
Yes, we're living great.
All right, just don't care, so do we care. Let's talk about, oh, my pictures are just off center today. Okay, can't quite make a point. Okay, there we go. Let's talk about the astronauts versus Musty. And no, there's not a picture of him up there because we don't platform Nazis on this app. So Musty and European astronaut. So the European astronaut in question is not pictured here. These are the astronauts who are still up in space. They, in their own words, they are not stranded. They weren't left alone, but their mission got delayed, I guess, a bit. So they're still returning home sometime this year. I think March or April. But anyway, the astronaut who hit back is not pictured. But Andreas Mogensen exchanged barbs online after Musty suggested in a recent interview that two NASA astronauts were left on the International Space Station for political reasons. Mogensen shot back, basically, you know damn well that's not the case. And he also said, even now, you're not the one sending up your rescue ship to bring them home. They're returning on the Dragon capsule that has been on ISS since last September. Just a little pettiness. I was just like, how you piss off NASA? And astronauts and other astronauts.
I like the Musty. That's exactly it. Musty.
But yeah, it was just like, now you pissing off astronauts who are typically pretty chill and don't really trade political barbs.
It's like, dude, why would that be a political play, political move, in order for them to be stuck up there? And that they say they're not stuck. So it's like, okay, y'all just been there forever. But yeah, it's like, what political gain was that for them to be stuck there? There's none.
Not at all. But anyway, yeah, just a snapshot of, that was a small snapshot of our discourse today. But yeah, anyway, that was all I had. Did you have anything for this week? Outside of the flaming floating,
Mike, who just don't care.
I mean, yeah, outside of Mike, too. I was going to say, outside the flaming floating dumpster fire. Referenced earlier.
Let me see. I don't think there's anything. Because I don't think we can talk about. I'll ask you after this.
Okay.
And then maybe we can talk about it next week.
Okay.
But, yeah.
My answer would probably be no, but
that I was wondering about. Okay. Yeah, there was something that I saw that I was like a news beat, and I was like, I wonder if we can talk about that. But yeah, but that's it for that.
Okay. All right, and last but not least, on the weekly roundup, for us nerds. There's an Avatar spinoff, it's spinoff, but it feels like a sequel.
It's in the same universe.
Yeah, same universe. That's coming. So this is called Avatar Seven Havens, and it will be just like the originals, Avatar The Last Airbender, kind of animated in the same vein. Even having the same creators, Michael DiMartino and Brian Konietzko. It's confirmed for 2 books with 13 episodes each. Also, I'm not gonna hold you, I saw in one of the discords I'm in in one of the discords I was in, I saw someone post something about it, and I was like, did you check your sources? And then I like did my Googles when I was making the doc, and I was like, oh snap, this is real cool. But per their press release, it's set in the world shattered by a devastating cataclysm. The series will follow a young earthbender who discovers she's the new Avatar after Korra, but in this dangerous era, that title marks her as humanity's destroyer, not its savior. And she's going to be hunted by both human and spirit enemies, and she and her long-lost twin must uncover their mysterious origins and save the Seven Havens before civilization's last strongholds collapse. I feel like y'all really hitting our current society on the nose here. It doesn't have a premiere date yet. It will likely come after the upcoming feature film Focus on Aang, which is scheduled for January 2026. But what are your thoughts on Avatar returning when the world needed it most?
I can't wait. I saw the news for it just this afternoon from, what's his name, who did the voice of Zuko.
Oh, Dante Bosco.
And Korra. They have a podcast. Yeah, Dante Bosco. Because they have a podcast where they go through each episode, they watch and they discuss, and they have like guests who did different voice actors and actors period, and just different people on their podcast. And they announced it So I was just like, yeah, this is so exciting. I like the basis of it, that the Avatar, not only is the new Avatar, well, of course we know it's going to be an Earthbender, but also that they're a twin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
I'm the Surge series.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I swear. invest in the brand. Always have to remember that. That's our team logo motto in this household. Invest in the brand. but yeah. yeah, but I'm excited for it. It'll be pretty cool. Yeah, I'm just excited for it. I love Avatar. I love it so much. Can't wait for a new one. So, yay! More Avatar. More Avatar is always good. Yeah. And then I can't wait for the show to come back. I'm ignoring now. At this point, I'm just ignoring. But yeah. I'm excited for it. Can't wait. I wonder like how that fact that the original creators are attached to the show, so that gives it hope that it's going to be good. Because as we saw when they weren't part of the first movie, that was terrible. And so, yeah, so we shall see.
Yeah, I'm super excited for it.
I'm excited.
Alrighty, anything else before we close out? I gotta go work out, so...
Ah, so no.
All right, y'all. But thank y'all for coming out to another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. Certainly appreciate it. We shall be back soon.